first and foremost, let us thank the foxes. Thank you to, let's see, are they here? I think Sarita was here.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Here's
okay.
A fox.
There you go. Just look for the fox. Thank you to Mayor and Sarita Fox for sponsoring today's class in honor of Mayor's mother, Rachel. What's her Hebrew name?
She's Rachel Bat Shlomo Mordechai.
Rachel Bat Shlomo Mordechai. Our learning today should be Lo'ilav Nishmasa, the elevation of her soul. I see we have Hyman here also, which is very special. So it's good to have you both. And it's always a pleasure to have the foxes in almost every of my classes. You know, they're not in the Daf Yomi, but they're in every other one. So Baruch Hashem, you're not only supportive of the shul in this way, but also in the way that you are, supporting the learning of the shul by always attending. So thank you for everything, for the foxes, for everything they do. And hopefully our learning today should be Lo'ilav Nishmasa.
His English name was Sam, and he came in as an illegal immigrant. So all the time he was here in Detroit, he never could go to Canada because he was always scared he wouldn't be allowed to come back over the border. His English name was meant to be, his original name was Fishman. So I asked Mayor why he became Selikovich. His mother was Selix, right? Right, hi, Selikovich. Mayor thinks he took someone else's name, Selikovich, although his original name was Fishman, because when he was in Poland, he was drafted into the army, and he must have fled.
Mm-hmm.
He was originally from Lomza. That was probably the reason he changed his name. But I'm not sure what port of entry it was. It could have been Ellis, but for whatever reason, it was illegal.
Well, we're glad they came, and we're glad that they had a beautiful family here, and that they're supportive of the shul. So thank you for that, and it's a pleasure to learn in her honor, in Rachel's honor. So, Parsha, fascinating Parsha. It's the beginning of it's the very, very early beginnings of the nationalization of the Jewish people, in that we're going from stories of individuals to stories of a huge family. And obviously, we're still going to be talking about individuals throughout Sefer Bereishis, and we only really start talking about the Jewish people when we begin Sefer Shmos and the Jewish people in Egypt. But you see the beginning of it here. We go from talking about Avram and Yitzchak, and then Yaakov. All of a sudden, this week, Yaakov has tons of kids, and the Shvatim, as we know, become the entirety of the Jewish people until they go down to Egypt with all 70 members of the family. That all starts this week in Parshas Vayetze. A lot, obviously, to talk about in terms of all the Shvatim. So Yaakov, first of all, if you recall from last week, is running away from Esav. We spoke last week a little about the Kibbutz Avim aspects of that, and how I actually spoke on Shabbos about the Kibbutz Avim aspect of Yaakov, offensive to Esav himself, could be in violation of Kibbutz Av in the fact that he was the older brother. He has a responsibility to respect your older brothers. So we talked about that halacha and how it applies, when it applies. Particularly important to me as a twin who is the younger of the two twins. We spoke about whether I had to respect my older brother. Do I have to respect my older brother, even if he's only 1 minute older? So it's a machlokas. Not just
Rabbi,
between me and my brother, but also between
Karen,
the rabbis.
Rabbi, Karen is twin.
Yes, I know. I remember you said that last week. Older or younger?
Younger.
Okay, so we can commiserate together later.
C-section twins doesn't count, right?
It depends the basis of the halacha. If the basis of the halacha is based on inheritance, so then you'd be correct. But if it's based on other reasons, so then it's possible you still have to respect them. But not for now. Yaakov is on his way out of Eretz Yisrael. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. How do we know that Yaakov wore a strimal? People know this one.
He wore a
strimal? Yeah, Yaakov wore a strimal. You didn't know that. How do we know? Because the Pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. He left Be'er Sheva. You think he would have left without putting on a strimal?
Oh, my God.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Very good.
So Vayetze Yaakov Be'er-Sheva V'yelech Harana. So he goes to Haran, who is going towards Haran. Harana means going towards it, which is important because he comes to a place, Vayifga Ba'makom. Very interesting, the word Ba'makom is in order to teach us the word, the letter bet with a comma, with a patach underneath it, is indicative of the fact that it's a specific makom. It's as if it's saying Be'ha-makom, in the place. What's the place? As we know, it's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, it was the place of his father and his grandfather for the Kedis Yitzchak. So here you find that it is, it's a, the place, Vayalan Sham Kiva HaShemesh. This scene is one of the most Hasidically infused scenes in many of the Svarim that I look at. There's so much to talk about, and we're going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to talk about more in terms of just the word Vayifka, but we'll talk about it soon. He has this dream, and the ladder up and down, and the angels going up and down, whatever that means. Interesting theme between Malachim throughout the Parsha, but a fascinating sort of Hashkafic perspective with this ladder. For those who are you know, keen to the details here, Hine Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Rosho Magia Hashemaima. Very fascinating imagery that the ladder is Mutzav. We've talked about this word Mutzav before. Nitzavim means entrenched. It is standing in place. It's situated. It's not moving. It's firmly established in the ground, i.e. in Olam Hazeh. You embrace this world, but at the same time, Rosho Magia HaShemayma. While you're entrenched with this world, you're always thinking of higher ideals, thinking of the Shemayim, you're thinking of spirituality. How can you make this world reach up to the heavens? Fascinating, fascinating description of the ladder, which we know from Mefarshim, from Midrashim, is indicative of a certain, you know, destiny of the Jewish people, the different Galios, the different exiles, different nations that we'll be facing, or cultures we'll be facing, to be more specific, or inclusive. Yivinei Hashem nitzav alav, ayomar, ani Hashem, whatever that means, Hashem is situated over it, and he tells him, I'm your father, Avram, I'm your God of your father, Avram, your father, Yitzchak, the place that you're sitting on, the land that you're sitting on is what I'm going to give to your children, and they're going to be one, they're going to be, you know, great, like the sand of the earth, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guard you, right? And then he says, "Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso." Here's a drasha that every year I look for a drasha along these lines, and I'm yet to find someone who says it. So I'm still too afraid to mention it in a drasha of my own. But if anyone here, you know, of the 20 people here, or if anyone, you know, that's listening to this recording can find me a source, please send it to me. Even my Hasidic Svarim don't have this drasha. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso Vayomer Achen Yesh Hashem Ba'Malkom Hazeh. There is Hashem in this place. Va'anochi lo yadati. Literally, it means, and I didn't know that I came to such a place. The pasuk narrates Vayifka Ba'Malkom that he's in the place. He didn't necessarily realize that until he has this dream, this encounter with Hashem. The pasuk Va'anochi lo yadati. I didn't know. Many different ways to interpret that. The way I like to say it is Va'anochi lo yadati. I didn't know my own elevation. Anochi lo yadati. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know the stature that I had to have such a revelation. Hashem would speak to me in such explicit terms. Anochi lo yadati. I didn't know my own worth. I haven't seen anyone who says that, but I always think about it and I always look for it. Still can't find anyone who says it. So take it with a big grain of salt. Vayira vayomar, and then he has fear. Manora hamakom hazeh. I'm sort of reverent to this place. Ein zeh kim beis Elokim, sort of a you know, forbidding, not foreboding, but sort of a prediction for the future. This is a place of Hashem, a house of Hashem. V'zeh shar Hashemayim. This is going to be the portal to get to Shemayim. And then it says, it seems like he goes back to sleep and then he gets back up. Vaikach hes ha'evan, famous midrash that talks about how the stones were all around him and then they coalesced into one big stone. Whether or not that's actually literally true because of the language of the psukim, me'avne doesn't necessarily mean he took many stones. Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, Medrash picks up on it nonetheless. A very interesting concept between, you know, the shvatim that are going to come and how they should coalesce in the future. And then he made a whole Mizbeach out of it. He calls it Beis El, even though it was originally had a different name. And he makes a neder, which is very interesting neder. Some interesting halachic ramifications of this neder. If Hashem will be with me and guard me, then I will go back and be what does it say? Haya Hashem li le'elokim. I will have God as my God. I'm going to give back to Hashem. If Hashem takes care of me, I'll take care of him. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Kind of an interesting phrase from Yaakov Avinu. What does that mean? Not for now. We talked last year in this class, Tuesday afternoon, we talked about the next pasuk. Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. He picked up his feet. That's an interesting phrase, right? Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. What do you mean he picked up his feet? Rashi tells us over there, once Hashem gave him his guarantee, Hashem's going to be with him, he just picked up and he had an ease of movement. Last year we talked about the importance of positivity and how when people are positive around you, people are encouraging and supportive, it makes your life easier. It brings a certain attitude that you feel like you can go on, that you feel like you can continue doing the things you have to do. That's what Hashem gave to Yaakov. That's why it was so easy. Ultimately, he gets to this well. We'll talk about the well later. He takes the stone off the well. He uncovers the water. He gets the water even though nobody else could do it. We mentioned this. We'll talk about that later. And then he finally gets the Lavan, right? He finally makes it to Lavan. We know the whole story. Rachel and Leah switcheroo, marries Leah. And then another halacha that we learned from Lavan. We learned from Malei Shavu Azos. Just finish out the week, right? Finish your Sheva Brachos, the 7 days celebrating for Leah. And then you can marry Rachel as long as you work another 7 years. People think that, this is somewhat of a misnomer, people think that he worked 7 years, married Leah, and then had to work another 7 years before he married Rachel. That's not how it happened. He married Leah, and then they waited a week, and he got married, and then he worked 7 years after marrying Rachel. So it's sort of it's not like he had to wait 14 years to marry Rachel. He had to wait 7 years and a week. We actually learn a halacha here about Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You're not allowed to get married at a time of otherwise joyful time in the Jewish calendar. Specifically Chol Hamoed, this question about whether it applies to other times too. But at least Chol Hamoed, you're not supposed to get married based on this concept. You're already enjoying the Chag, so you don't need another dose, or don't mix doses of the joy, lest it diminish either one of the joys. We learn that from Lavan. This is completely from Lavan's mouth. Malei Shavuazos, finish out the week. That's Pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Tes, in Perek Chav Tes. And then you get Rachel. Interestingly enough, I had a cousin, who did exactly this. I don't know, because of timing, because of one was a little more yeshivish than the other. So my cousin got married. They had the wedding on one Sunday. They had Shever Brachos the whole week. And then we went to the next wedding that Sunday. It's kind of strange. But they're both in Lakewood. I think they might have even been in the same exact place. So we went to Lakewood one Sunday. We did a couple Shever Brachos. Went back the next Sunday for the other sibling's wedding. Mamish, the same exact thing. So, there was no trickery involved. But you know what I mean. And then the whole thing with the kids, obviously Leah gets her fair share. Rachel is, barren and has the whole conversation of a sort of philosophical, theological conversation with Yaakov about her having children and Yaakov getting upset at her about, not accepting her lot in life. Interesting stuff to talk about there. And then all the different names, so many names to talk about. We could go on forever talking about the meaning of some of these names. In the past, I've talked about Yosef's name. Yosef's name seems to have two different reasons, right? Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi, or Yosef Li Ben Acher. Which one's the prominent reason? Which one's the secondary reason? Which one is not a reason at all? A lot to talk about. Ultimately, you have Yaakov having almost all of his children. Binyamin's not born yet, but almost all of his children trying to get out of Lavan's house. And the whole trickery and the striped and the spotted sheep, what in the world is going on there? A lot to talk about, not for now. I honestly don't, every year I sort of say I got to figure this one out, and it's hard to really wrap my head around. But either way, ultimately, Yaakov runs away. Lavan tries to chase after him, and they have this some kind of rock structure, which Lovin calls Yigar Sahadusa, one of very rare instances where there's an Aramaic word in the Hebrew Tanakh. We know, obviously, Daniel has a lot of Aramaic in it, but that's based on where they were. Lavan uses the word Yigar Sahadusa. What exactly does that mean? And Yaakov calls it Gal Eid, which is referencing the actual Gal, which is a pile of stones, and Eid, which is testimony that they're having some kind of truce. And then the Parsha ends off, and this is where I want to come back, full circle, to a specific word. If you look at the end of the Parsha, I think this is the end. This is source number 3. We'll come back to source number 1 in a second. Source number 3 on the sources, for those who have them. Vayashkem Lavan Baboka Vayinashek Levanav Liv Nosa Vayvarech Eshem. Lavan gets up, he kisses them, he gives them a bracha. Doesn't exactly tell us what the bracha is, but that's what he does. And does Rashi? No one tells us what that bracha is. I wonder if there's a midrash about what he said. Either way, vayelech vayashav Lavan limkomo. Ooh, that's a good trivia question. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out if I could use it in the Parsha riddles this week. I don't think I can. Name another time. Name another time in the Torah. Well, this is kind of a giveaway when I ask the question. Name another time in the Torah where a father-in-law, it says, Vayashav Limkomo. He goes back to his place.
Yisro.
Yisro, right? Yisro gives his whole spiel to Moshe Rabbeinu. You should do this, you should do that. And then he goes back home. Right? This is, you know, I was once, a different cousin, the other side, Ricky's side, went to a Sheva Brachos or an Ufraf, I forgot which one, and the father-in-law was speaking at one of the meals to the future son-in-law, and he says, it was Parshas Yisro. So he says, don't worry, as much as I'll tell you what to do, eventually I'll go home. That's what he told him. Either way, so what I wanted to point out is the next pasuk. V'Yaakov halach l'darko, and Yaakov went on his way. Where's he going? Presumably he's going back to see Yitzchak, but he's worried that on the way he's going to have to deal with Esav, right? So V'Yaakov halach l'darko v'yifke'u bo malachei Elohim. Unclear what these malachei Elohim are. Malachim, as it sounds from next week's parsha, the beginning of next week's parsha, are actual messengers. But it could be, as Rashi tells us, if you look at Rashi in source number 4, Vayifke'u bo malachei Elohim, malachim shel Eretz Yisrael ba'u likraso l'lavoso l'aretz. The angels who came to greet Yaakov as he came back to Eretz Yisrael. A beautiful sort of image. But what's fascinating to me is, that this is not the first time we find this word. Vayifke'u. Vayifke'u is a very specific word. Where do we find the word vayifke'u? Or vayifka? You don't have to look. Oh, that was vayivater Yaakov levado. That's next.
In the beginning, I had a dream.
The very first word on the source sheet. Right? At the beginning of the Parsha. Fascinating that the Parsha is bookended with this word. The scene uses the same word to introduce itself. Also notice, by the way, that the end of the Parsha starts off with the first three psukim of a parak. That's kind of rare. It's another one of those instances, we talked about this back, one of the parashios at the end of Devarim, I forgot which one already. Kisetze or Kisevo. So here we have the Chazal instituting that we should read these last three psukim at the end of the Parsha. And I can't tell you why, for sure, but what I can tell you, it's fascinating that we're bookending the Parsha with a transition of Yaakov Avinu. The beginning of the Parsha talks about how Yaakov Avinu is leaving Israel, and the end of the Parsha talks about how Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Israel. Full circle. We're going all the way back. And what's interesting about that is that it's almost as if we couldn't finish the Parsha without saying Yaakov's coming back. Right? It's like Yaakov leaves at the beginning. And if you notice, there's a lot going on in the Parsha. That took us, you know, 5 extra minutes to go through the Parsha than we usually do. That's somewhat my fault, but it's also because of the Parsha, right? The Parsha has so much to say, it's as if the Parsha had to say everything so that we can finish and say, Yaakov's coming back, don't worry. He's not leaving, he's not staying in Chutz La'aretz for too long. He's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. But more fascinating for us today, or more something more emphasized for us today, is to focus on this one word, Vayifge'u. Both instances, when Yaakov's leaving Israel and when Yaakov's coming back to Israel, it says the word Vayifga. And let's focus on that for a little bit. If you look at the source, so first source number one, Vayifga b'makom, we talked about this already. He came to the place, Vayolen sham kiva hashemesh, and he sat down because the sun was coming out. There's a lot of interesting stuff there in terms of, who did I see this from? It might have been Svasemes. Vayolen sham means that he brought in to himself that the holiness that was in that place. We'll talk about it in a second, or in a few minutes, I think. I think it's in the Svasemes we're going to see in source number 5, but let's take it slow a little bit. Vayolen sham kiva shemesh veikach me'avnei hamakom veyasim ra'ash osav veishkav v'makom ahu. So he lays down over there. So it's interesting. The Pasuk, for some reason, the Torah, Hashem, for some reason doesn't just tell us he came to a place and laid down there. It says that, right? It doesn't just say, you know, Ba Hashemesh Vayolen Bamakom. It doesn't say the sun was going down, so he slept in a place. It goes out of its way. The Pasuk says, Vayifka Bamakom. But first and foremost, he encountered this place. Kind of interesting, just the way that the Torah says it, it's almost sort of signaling to us that the places we go in life are not just random places where we happen to do things, but they are encounters. And the question is, are we encountering Hashem's presence in the places that we go, or are we just doing things in those places? Kind of interesting nuance there. But when Chazal understand it, if you look at source number 2, it says, Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis. Yaakov is the one that established Mariv. How did Yaakov establish Mariv? Shenemar, vayifga b'makom. He encountered that place, vayolen sham. And he situated, and he rested there. Ve'ein pigia, the word pigia, to encounter, only means ela tfila. It only means davening. Shnamar v'yata al tisbal be'ad ha'am hazeh v'yatisa ba'adam rina svila v'yatifka bi. Kind of an interesting phrase, but it's referring to Hashem. Don't encounter me. Don't daven for the Jewish people. Right? This is in Yirmiyahu, where Hashem is basically saying that the Jewish people, you know, are not going to be saved anymore, and no use davening for them. Right? So the word there is in the negative sense, or at least in a negative context. But Hashem is saying that tifka means to daven. So here too, Yaakov is vayifka b'makom. He encounters this place and he takes that opportunity to daven to Hashem. So that phrase, as we just pointed out, is also echoed at the end of the parsha. Vayifka'u bo malachei Elokim. We already talked about the dream. We talked about him getting up and saying, Anochi lo yadati, I didn't know myself, or I didn't know that it was such a holy place. But now let's look at what the purpose of this is. Because it's one thing if somebody davens and establishes davening, right? We saw this by Yitzchak. When Rivka comes home, she sees Yitzchak davening, and Yitzchak is davening in the afternoon. So it happens to be Yitzchak's the one that davens Mincha. He's the one that establishes Mincha, or maybe he's the one that represents Mincha. He emphasized Mincha. Unclear what it means that he actually established Mincha. But nonetheless, that was just, seemed like by happenstance. It just happened to be. Rivka was coming home, and by Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, he went out in the afternoon to go daven. There wasn't anything in particular that prompted him to daven, but it was just that it was the afternoon. Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago when I wrote about Rabbi Sacks, so I wrote about how he interprets that scene and the importance of davening being the interwoven, you know, relationship with Hashem with other people, And specifically, when Rivka came home is when Yitzchak davened, because when we daven to Hashem, we're also recognizing our responsibility towards others. Okay, so we talked about that a little bit. But that's more retroactively. How do we look at it? How do we take the message from it? That's not necessarily why Yitzchak was davening. However, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov is prompted to daven by the fact that he comes to this place. And it's not just the place that compels him to daven, but it's even the predicament that he finds himself in, right? Because Yaakov is about to go outside of the land of Israel, right? That's how we just structured the whole Parsha. The Parsha starts with him leaving Israel. The Parsha ends with him coming back to Israel. So what is the purpose of his davening? One could easily say, and I'm sure if I gave it to the crowd, you'd also say, he's davening for Hatzlacha after leaving Israel. Because all the meanwhile, while you're in Israel, you're in the place where Hashem has destined for the Jewish people. So Yaakov assumes he's going to have a certain level of protection. He assumes that that's going to be something afforded to him by the fact that he's living out the destiny of Avram Avinu. That's the Bris Ben Masarim. That's the Shavua that he gave to the Jewish people, that he's going to give them this land. However, now that he has to leave, so what's going to be? And that's where you find the bracha that Hashem gives him to be all that more important, right? When he says in the dream, I'm the Hashem of Avram, the God of Yitzchak. Don't worry, the fact that you're now leaving Israel, it'll still be yours afterwards. You might think that maybe you're being compelled to leave and it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem because you're going to jeopardize the inheritance of the land for the people. So don't worry, it's still going to be yours. And you're still going to have a lot of kids, and they're still going to be in this land, and I'm going to be with you. Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. And I'm going to stay with you. What a fascinating phrase. Yaakov comes to this place. He davens to Hashem. And the very next thing that happens is that Hashem says, yes, I will be with you. Shmarticha b'chol asher telech. Not just in the land of Israel, but all places. This is back in source number one. For those who didn't catch that, in Pasuk Tezvav 15, V'nei Anochi Imach, I'm with you now, Ushmartich, and I'm going to be with you, I'm going to protect you, B'chol Asher Telech, no matter where you go, V'hashivosicha, and I will bring you back, El Hadamazos, Kilo Ezavcha Ad Asher Imasi Si'es Asher Dibar Tilach, I will never leave you, even until that moment where I do everything that I promised for you. So, whereas Yaakov was worried, what's going to be when he leaves Israel? Hashem says, don't worry, I'll bring you back, and I will stay with you the whole time that you're gone. And that's where you have the full circle, the end of the Parsha, Hashem actually does come back. How do we know that Hashem comes back? Because the Pasuk tells us in source number 3, as we said before, in Pasuk Beis, V'Yaakov halach ledarko, interesting wording, right? It says before, V'chol asher teilech, here he's v'halach ledarko, he's going back to his place. V'yifgu ubo malachei Elokim. And the angels come back, fulfilling the promise of Hashem from the beginning of the Parsha. We're literally just coming full circle. Hashem says it's going to do, and we have an immediate same day. We find the fruition of that promise at the end of the Parsha. Hashem sends the malachim, according to the opinion that they're actual malachim, like Rashi says, he sends those angels. But what is Yaakov trying to accomplish? We see that Hashem responds in kind, that he says in the affirmative, yes, I'll be with you. But what was the importance of Yaakov's message? What was the importance of Yaakov's davening? What, in a greater sense, what is the message of Maariv? Right? Yaakov, we know, as opposed to Avram who does Shacharis, Yitzchak does Mincha, Yaakov does Maariv. What is the importance of davening Maariv? And how does it reflect in this story? If you look at the Sfas Emes, we haven't quoted the Sfas Emes in a while, I don't think. Which is, not common for me. I'm a big fan of the Sfas Emes. I voted the Sfas Emes was my favorite Sefer of the year in 2018. not that I give one out every year, but it was a clear front runner that year. If I had to choose this year, besides Daf Yomi, because I learn that every day, if I had to choose, I'd probably choose that Sefer that I use for my Shiska on the Parsha, Ituri Torah. But either way, this one, I don't know if people know it. Great sefer, great little tidbits from Rav Aaron Greenberg. Oldie but a goodie, or a classic. It's a good rabbinic cheat sefer. Gives you a lot of good drushes. Anyways, so the Svas Emes tells us in source number 5, Bezor HaKadosh, Misherotze Leireid Labor Amok, if somebody wants to go into a deep pit, you never know what you're going to get from the Zohar. So this is what it's saying here. If somebody wants to go into a deep pit, Tzarech Mikodem Lekasher Atzmo Bechevel Chazak, you have to put on a harness and connect it to a rope. Put it on top, right? Attach it to some kind of, you know, pole or some kind of situated stand outside on top of the pit. Bechevel chazak, with a strong rope, shlo yishtakeh sham, so that you don't get stuck in the pit, right? If anyone has ever gone rock climbing, or everyone's done, you know, I don't know what else, whatever, what other things there's other things that people do from great heights that you have to be careful. So you always put on a harness, and you have to make sure that the rope is strong. Kain vayetze Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva. So too, Yaakov thought when he left Be'er Sheva. Shenishbal HaKadosh Baruch b'chol libo. He swore to Hashem with all of his heart. Kenoda sheshavua hu klal chiyos Adam. We're not going to talk about that, but the promise is the essence of a person. Your word, right? You're only as good as your word, basically. At least that's how I'll understand it. But right, so it's a shehu azayin hamido sheyesh ba'adam. That's I don't know what exactly he's talking about. Ba'az halach lecharan, and then he went to Charan. But just because Mishus az teilach lebetach, kikushem. I'm trying to sort of keep out the Kabbalah from this. But kikushem oser adam kol hazayin mido shalom nasibo rak ratzon echad tamil Hashem yisparach nikra az. Okay, the word az is then, but in a Kabbalistic sense, it is the sense of, it's sort of the feeling of a person who is kulo l'Hashem, right? He's you know, completely directed to Hashem. V'hu l'mala min ha'teva, and that is above nature. I can assume that that's because the Aleph is above the Zion, which is 8 and then 7, but again, not going to talk about it. 1 plus 7, fine. And then that person with that confidence, with that kind of connection to Hashem, can go wherever he wants without any fear. He comes to this place, he encounters this place, and he feels there sort of a nekuda hapnimius. He feels within it something which is of greater spiritual significance. That's what it means when Chazal say that he made Mariv. What does that mean? Shalila nikre Erev, because nighttime is called Erev. A little plug for Daf Yomi there. I'm not seeing any Daf Yomi people here, but last 2 days we've been talking about the name of nighttime. Kind of an interesting way to start off the Masechta of Pesachim, but I don't want to talk about Pesach too much in this group, so we're going to leave that for another time. Laila Nikra Erev says the Sfas Emes, it's also called Erev. We've talked about Erev before, Parshas Noach last year, you know, over a year ago. Ayin Sham. But what does that mean? She'az yesh ta'aroves tov v'ra. Tough vav resh means tov v'ra. Nighttime, evening, is when good and bad are all conflated. It's dark. You cannot distinguish one thing from another. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu goes into a place of darkness, v'hu matza besoch ha-taroves, and within that conflation, within that confusion, of that mixture of good and bad, within that combination, within that confusion, mitoch ha-taroves ha-nekuda ha-tova. Yaakov walked into darkness, and he was able to connect to the good part of that darkness, whatever that means. In a general sense, what that means is that he was able to harness whatever positive spiritual forces can be found in this conflating, conflated and difficult place, a difficult time, he was able to harness the good that was in it and still maintain his high level of spirituality. And then he continues, says Vasem, I know we're a little esoteric here, but we'll bring it home eventually, as you know we usually do. Vayifka b'makom vayalen. He comes to the place and he lays down there. What does that mean? Yesh lomar al pimash kasa b'shem harav. Anyone want to guess what that word is? This is what we call pshischa. It's not exactly spelled out in the way that you would think. Parshischa. But this is what we would call pshischa. In Poland, they throw R's in where they're not supposed to be pronounced. So here too, there's a resh where it's not supposed to be pronounced. At least not culturally pronounced. Pshischa zal. The Rav Simcha Banim says, al pi adam bikar al Al Pasak Atam Bikar Bal Yalin, quoting from Vasa Parish, Ko ki hasaga she'ena nish'eres ba'adam l'macharaso eno davar shel kayama. If there's some kind of understanding, there's some kind of intellectual concept that a person has, but it's not going to stay with them the next day, but it's just a momentary understanding, so then it's not really an enduring thought. V'nimshal k'behemos nidbu, it's like an animal who can't really think very deeply. V'yesh lomar, says the Svasemes, Vayifka Vayolin. What does that mean, Vayifka? Yaakov Avinu encountered this place, and Vayolin, he established it. What does Vayolin mean? Vayolin means, like we have in Kadshim, we have in Karbanos, Linas Laila is that you have to let the carbon sit for a night, right? Or that, not that you have to, but if you let it sit for a night, it stays over the night. So says the Sfasemis, that's what it means here also. Vayalen shenishar bo ha'ara. That whatever Yaakov Avinu encountered when he went to Davin Maariv, whatever level of consciousness he was able to acquire during that original encounter at nighttime in this place, it was also a yalen. It also stayed with him overnight. It continued on to the next day. Kiva Hashemesh, says the Sfasemes, Yeshlomer Belashon Af, Shasham Lohaya Haya Hashemesh. What does that mean, Kiva Hashemesh? As the Sfasemes started, Yaakov Avinu davened at Maariv, meaning he davened at nighttime. He davened at a time in his life which was all dark. It was Erev. It was a mixture of good and bad. On the one hand, I'm being chased by Esav. On the other hand, I'm going to start a family. That's a mixture of good and bad. Right, there's also a famous Beis Halevi at the beginning of the parasha, but Yetziyak and Be'er Shava. There are two reasons that a person can leave a place. One is to get away from something, and one is to go towards something. Yaakov was doing both. Right, he was not only Yetziyak and Be'er Shava, but also Yelech Harana. Technically, you could say only one of those, and you would understand what the message is. But here, Yaakov was doing both. It was a mixed message. He was getting away from Yetziyak, which was getting away from the bad, and then he was also Yelech Harana. He was going towards the good. Says the Sfas Emes, when the Pasuk says Kiva HaShemesh, it was Yaakov's bringing the light to that darkness. Kiva HaShemesh, meaning the sun was coming out, that Yaakov brought out the light. Even though he davened in that darkness, he was able to bring out the light. Kiba HaShemesh. I know it's somewhat heavy chasidus here. Av HaPichein, even though Av HaPichein, he stabik makom HaKadosha, he was able to connect to that place of Kedusha and bring the sun. V'chol zeh haya hachana. And all of this was a preparation. Preparation for what? Says the Sfas Emes, Hachana b'avor banav sheyered Yaakov avinu alav ha'shalom b'chol hamakamos elu. In all the places that Yaakov's children will ever go, in the rest of world history, the B'nai Yisrael, as I started with, the transition from the individual to the national narrative, all the places where his future children will go and his descendants will go, they could go on his heels, they could follow his footsteps. There will never be a place. There will never be a place that's too dark for the Jewish people. Shalo darach bo Yaakov, that Yaakov himself didn't already conquer. That's what Hashem says, perish. Shalo yeshum aziva livnei Yisrael. Hashem will never leave the Jewish people. Shalo yiyem ikodem kvar dveikos Yaakov avinu arvoshom sham. that Yaakov Avinu made sure, gave that security, that on his way out of Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu was worried, and this is already my taking my creative license here, Yaakov Avinu was worried that on his way out of Eretz Yisrael, he's going to establish a reputation of the Jewish people that they're Eretz Yisrael people. And anytime somebody leaves Eretz Yisrael, and he leaves that more, you know, cognizant recognition, appreciation of Hashem, so they're not going to have that protection of Hashem. And Hashem responds in kind and says, no, even in Golos, b'chol makom asher telech, any place that you're going to go, I'm going to stay with you. And says the Sfas Emes, this is exactly why Yaakov had to daven before he left. Because, as the Sfas Emes starts, anyone who's thinking of going into a dark pit has to make sure he has a rope. Anyone who's thinking he's going to go into a dangerous place to go and to be at nighttime, at that time of that confusing place, which is not Eretz Yisrael, you have to make sure you're staying connected. You bring Hashem with you. You make sure that Hashem is not leaving you, that you're not taking a step outside of a protected area. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is doing. He's creating that rope. He's creating that anchor to make sure that he's always going to be with Hashem, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, we've talked about this in a couple of different ways. And I wanted to bring this into another aspect of the parsha, the very next scene, which I think informs or is informed by this message, even though the Ramban himself probably didn't mean it this way. It could be that the Ramban actually is hinting to it in this way. I'm not going to get into the Ramban in specifics. Maybe I'll do the end of the Ramban. But the next scene, as I mentioned earlier, is Yaakov coming to find Lavan, right, and to marry one of his daughters. And the beginning of Sheni, the beginning of Perek Chavtes, is Vayisa Yaakov Raglav. We talked about the good news. Hashem's going to be with him. So he goes to Vayar V'hinei Be'er Basada. He finds a well. A well is not something unfamiliar to us. Avram dealt with the wells. Yitzhak dealt with the wells. And now Yaakov's dealing with the wells. What is the message of all these wells? So it says, there's a well. V'hinisham Shalosha Edrei Tzon. Three other flocks of sheep that are at the be'er, at the well. V'ha'evin g'dola al pi'a be'er. There's this big stone on top of it. And v'nes v'shama kol ha'adarim galuas ha'evin me'al pi'a be'er v'yishku es ha'tzom v'yishivu es ha'evin al pi'a be'er lum koma. And all of these people have to get there and bring together. They take the stone off, they get it off, and they feed their flocks. Or they give water to their flocks. Vayomer lehem Yaakov, achaim ein batzim. Vayomer mecharan anach. They're coming from Charan. Vayomer lehem idatam es Lavan menachor. Do you know Lavan? Vayomer lehem shalom lo. Vayomer shalom v'neir chab yitav ba'ahim atzon. Ba'ahim atzon. Interesting emphasis there needs to be said. But the people say, oh yeah, Rachel, she's right over there. Vayomer hein od hayom gadol lo es hayosef hamekneh hashku hatzonu uchuru. Vayomer lo nuchal arashay yasvu kol adrim galuas heaven. Right, so he says to them, I need to feed, you know, I need to get drink for the flock, and they say, no, you're not able to, because you need everybody to take the stone off. So what happens? Odenu midaber imam v'rachel ba'a. Different emphasis from before. Not important. Imatona sher la'avia kiro ahi. She was shepherding the sheep. Vayhi kasher ra'a Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achima v'esavan son Lavan achima. When Yaakov sees her with all the sheep, vayigash Yaakov vayagel es ha'evin me'al pi'a be'er. All of a sudden, Yaakov gets superhuman strength, and he's able to take off the stone from on top of the well. Vayashke son Lavan achima, and returning the favor that Lavan's sister once did for Eliezer, Yaakov now gives all the water to the sheep of Lavan, and then that's how he meets Rachel. That's how the whole journey starts. What is the message of this well? What's the message with the stone? Obviously, a lot to talk about, but I just want to point out the Ramban. If you look, let's see, four lines up from the bottom of the Ramban in source number 6. Four lines up. In the probably a few lines in, probably a third of the way into the line, it says Ki ha-be'er, because the well, Ki ha-be'er yirmoz Lebeis Hamikdash. The well is the Beis Hamikdash. That's the temple in Yerushalayim. The Gimel Edrei Tzon and the flocks are the Ole Shlosha Regalim. Those are the three times that people come to Yerushalayim. Kimin HaBe'er HaHu Yashku HaDarim. Because it's from the Beis Hamikdash. It's from those times where we're in the holiest place of the world. Some would call it Hamakom, the very place of Hashem. It's that place of Hashem, that place of Yerushalayim, that everybody comes to Yerushalayim to gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, to be sustained by the water. Says the Ramban, and sort of, this is not necessarily something a Ramban always does, to inject so much Kabbalah into his parish, but he says, because it's from that place, from the place of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that Hashem will give over his divine wisdom. Alternatively, that's where the Sanhedrin is going to be. That's where Torah Shabbat Peh is going to be established. Shenim Shalal Lamayim, right? Ein Mayim El Torah, right? The water is representative of Torah. V'davar Hashem Yerushalayim, as we say every Shabbos morning, every time we take out the Torah, that the word of Hashem comes from Yerushalayim. V'nes v'sham kol adarim ba'im milavo chamas ad nachal mitzrayim v'galuas ha'even v'hishku. And he takes out the water, he takes off the stone, he takes out the water. Shemisham hayushov v'ruach ha'kodesh v'heshivu es ha'even. One of the sort of the quirky parts of this whole story is that they put the stone back on. Why do you put the stone back on? Says the Ramban, Ve'yeshivu ha'seven munach l'regel haba. It's put back on until the next regel. What do you mean until the next regel? You can't sit there and just bask in Hashem's glory the whole time? So this says the Ramban, this is how I was once taught this Ramban. The Ramban doesn't say this explicitly. Says the Ramban that just like it's important to uncover the well when you're starting the Sholosh Regalim, it's important to put it back on afterwards. Because Hashem wants us to gain as much sustenance as possible and then bring it outside of Yerushalayim, bring it into our regular lives and make sure that we're sustained even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because as we've said before in Shishcha on the Parsha, it's no great kunst to be a Gaon in Vilna, right? It's no great feat to be a tzaddik in the holiest place of the world. Once you go out of Vilna, once you go out of the holy places, that's when Hashem wants you to bring that water to wherever you're going, right? That's where you take the water from the well and you feed your family. You sustain everybody else. And in some ways, this gives a whole new meaning to what it meant when Yaakov Avinu was at the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Ramban, this is the very next scene after Yaakov Avinu comes from the Beis HaMikdash, comes from the Makom HaMikdash. Vayifka b'makom. Yaakov comes to this place, he davens Marav and he says, Hashem, I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael right now. And what I want to say to you, as I daven Marav at this nighttime, during darkness, what I want to say is, I'm taking your Kedusha, I'm taking Eretz Yisrael with me. And Hashem responds in kind and says, Ushmartich b'chol asher teilech. You're right, and I'm going to stay with you. You stay with me, I'll stay with you. And that's exactly the sort of the deal that Yaakov makes. If Hashem's going to be with me like he just guaranteed, so I will be with him no matter where I go. B'chol asher teilech, I'm going to stay with him. And that's exactly what it means in the structure of the Parsha. Right? Yaakov says, I'm going to come to you, I'm coming out of Israel. I'm leaving, but I'm coming from the Makom HaMikdash. I'm being sustained from that place so that I can take it with me. And as the Ramban says, we do the same thing with the Sholosh Regalim. We're in the middle of the long haul, right? We're going from Sukkot to Pesach, right? Anyone who's doing Daf Yomi knows it's a long haul. We've got 120 Dafim to get through. Pesach's not going to be around the corner. But we've got the long haul, the winter, what we call the Choref Zman, right? This is what they call it in Israel, Choref Zman, the winter time. It's the time to get through it, to make sure that you take whatever inspiration you have from Sukkot, and that should last you all the way to Pesach. That has to last you all the way to the next Chag. That's what the Ramban is saying. You put the stone back on because you're supposed to be taking that sustenance and bringing it with you. It's not meant to be uncovered all the time. You can't have inspiration all the time. You can't have an NCSY Shabbaton every single Shabbos weekend, right? You just can't do it. Not only can't you do it for financial reasons, but you can't do it for spiritual reasons. Because if you're going to have an inspiring experience every single day of your life, so then you're not really being inspired. As the Sfas-Emes points out, the only time that you're really inspired is when it's vayalen sham. When you not only vayifka b'makom, not only when you encounter that place, but when it's vayalen sham, when you hold it with you as you fall asleep and it comes with you to the next day, it has to stay with you afterwards, right? As the Sfas-Emes quoted from Simcha Banim, if you have that thought and then it just escapes from you the next day, so then it wasn't really an enduring thought. You had an inspiring Shabbaton, you had an inspiring davening, and the next day you go back to your old ways, so then that inspiring davening wasn't really with you ever. Says the Ramban, that's the purpose of the Shalosh Regalim, to have those moments of inspiration, those moments of commitment, which affect your future. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is doing as he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. Vayifka b'makom, but it's vayalen sham. He comes to this place, he encounters that place, and makes sure that inspiration from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Makom HaMikdash, in the case of Yaakov Avinu, is going to stay with him. And, let's see what time it is. I really want to do source number 7, but people can look back at the OU website. I spoke about source number 7, a similar idea specifically to COVID, and how we can take these times and bring them with us after, God willing, it's finished. That was all the way back in July. You can look up what I said there about source number 7, but I wanted to also finish off with source number 8. Source number 8 is something that we say exactly at the end of Sukkos. The end of Sukkos, we talk about Tfilas Geshem. We talk about starting saying Morid Mashiv Ruach Morid Hashem on Shmini Atzeres at the very end of Sukkos. Think about the Ramban when we go through this. The Ramban just said that this episode is indicative of the fact that we're supposed to be inspired and go from one Chag to the next Chag. If anyone remembers, this part in source number 8 is one of the sections of Tfilas Geshem. Zechor Tan Maklo V'Avar Yarden Mayim. It's referring to Yaakov Avinu, who takes a staff when he comes back to Israel. Yichad Lev, he coalesces his heart. V'gal Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim. And he takes off the stone from the well of water. Inside of Tfilas Geshem, we have embedded within that davening this message of Yaakov Avinu, that we're supposed to take the water, the sustenance from this Chag HaSukkos, take it with us. And the purpose is, ultimately, that we can return back to that time where we have the Beis HaMikdash. We return back to HaMakom so that we are once again reunited with Hashem. And I think when you put it in that sense, you go back to source number 4, or source number 3, excuse me. Source number 3, you see the end of the Parsha. Yaakov halach ledarko. And Yaakov went back to his way. What does it mean, to his way? Back to his original standing with Hashem. And who's there greeting him? Vayifke'u bo malachei Elokim. Now the angels are waiting for him to come back. Before, he's the one that's vayifka b'makom. Yaakov encounters Hashem. And now Yaakov, who had gone away but stayed faithful to Hashem, is now coming back. And Hashem is greeting him. Hashem is beautiful, coming together. It was as if when Yaakov left, Hashem couldn't wait for him to come back. Hashem couldn't wait, and then the second he comes back, vayifka b'makom, and then vayifku bo malachei Elokim. As if to say, Yaakov, in the words of the Sfas-Emes, had tied a rope, and now he's finally pulling himself back. Coming back to the people that have been waiting for him to pull himself back that whole time. He's re-encountering Hashem after the long escape. So what you find here is the ability and the message, as the Sfas-Emes says, the message for the Jewish people for all time, that we take our inspiration from certain events, whether they are national, macro events like the Beis HaMikdash, which should, inspire the Jewish people for all time, or whether it's in our own lives, things that happen, things that occur, and we're able to hopefully take those moments of inspiration and bring them to the rest of our lives. That's what Yaakov is doing as he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. He's teaching a message to the Jewish people. Make sure that before you leave, before you go into a dark situation, make sure you're tethered. You're tethered to that inspiration that you have so that you can return back to it. I remember when I was a dorm counselor, I'll close in a couple of minutes, when I was a dorm counselor at YU. So we started a new program where we had this sort of, YU is a hard place to make programming because everyone's got a dual curriculum and everyone's working super hard. And even at nighttime, people don't really want to do any programming. They kind of want to either relax or do more work. So I put on a program. It was a Monday night, or a Wednesday night. It was a Wednesday night at 10:30 p.m. 10:30 p.m. That's when we had to do our programs. 10:30 Wednesday night. And we brought in, that year we had this list to have Rev David Miller from YU's Israel campus, the Gris Kollel. He was there for that year as a quasi mashkiach. And we had him come. I had him come to my floor just for my 20 guys. It was a big schuss. And we had a Q&A. We had a Q&A with David Miller. And one of the guys asked him, it was early in the year, they asked him, Rebbe, how do I maintain my yeshiva experience? This is one of the big questions that serious learners at YU have when they come to YU. You know, I went to yeshiva for 2 years. I learned for 15 hours a day. Now I'm back in New York City. You know, it's no Yerushalayim. Right, it's no great holy place, and now I've got work to do. I've got classes. I've got distractions. You know, how can I maintain that yeshiva experience? And I thought his answer was so insightful, not because of the specific, but because of the message. And he said, take something from your yeshiva experience. Take one book. Take one little book that you used to read, a sefer, something that's easy and digestible, and take 5 minutes out of your day, just 5 minutes, and read from that book that was part of your yeshiva experience. So if you liked Mesilas Yesharim, and that was your thing in yeshiva, you used to read Mesilas Yesharim, so every day take 5 minutes. Just take 5 minutes. Read a couple pages. Maybe in yeshiva, you used to learn Mesilas Yesharim for 45 minutes every single day. So you don't have that kind of time. But at the very least, you can connect yourself back to the yeshiva experience. Connect yourself back to Yerushalayim. Connect yourself back to what you want to continue being inspired by. Just hold on to it. Tether yourself with some small thing. It's true you're going into Galus, right? It's true you're going, you know, as Yaakov Avinu pointed out, you're going into Chutz La'aretz. Hold on to something. And Yaakov Avinu makes Maariv. He makes a davening during that nighttime as if to say that even in the darkness, we can find the light. And that's how the Sfas Emes says, Kiva HaShemesh. Yaakov Avinu, even at nighttime, was able to find the sun. He was able to find the light. And so too we. Everybody's got their own things to be inspired by. But those little things can carry you through the darkest of times. And obviously, the connections to our times are obvious. Hopefully, we will be able soon enough to come back to Vayifku'u Bo Malachei Elokim. Hashem is waiting for us to come back to the shul, ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash, in the fullest sense of the word, and without our masks and without our distancing. Hopefully we'll have that time soon where we can re-engage with what we're tethered to. Even at a distance, we're still connected to, but hopefully we can re-encounter to the fullest extent. So that's a little bit of the entire Parsha. Is bookended by these encounters from Yaakov Avinu having to leave Eretz Yisrael, needing to come back to it. Ultimately, he does so at the end of the Parsha, but not before starting the Jewish people. As if to say, this is the message of the Jewish people. We have to stay tethered to what's important while we are going through Galus, while we're going through exile. Again, thank you to the Foxes. Thank you to Sarita and Meir for sponsoring in honor of Meir's mother. And her neshama should have an aliyah through our learning. Thank you, everyone. Great to see everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you.